Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. I recently heard from Carolyn in Brooklyn, New York. Carolyn has definitely signed on to the Bucky Bacall agenda of a world where chickens never live in unhealthy, inhumane, disease-spreading factories, but instead live in small flocks and yards and public spaces, not just in rural areas, but in suburbs and cities across the nation and the world. She knows that chickens in her yard will provide fertilizer, soil improvement, and pesticide control that will help her grow her own vegetables, which will be tastier and more nutritious than what she can get from corporate sources. She also knows that she'll have eggs that are much, much more nutritious and delicious than grocery store eggs, and will be not just a name, but an actual fact, cruelty-free. And of course, she's heard about and even witnessed what wonderful personalities chickens have when they're raised in healthy and respectful conditions. But like most of us, with most ideals, she's been wondering how to fit the way she thinks things ought to be into the reality of her actual life. So she asked me a series of questions that I know will enlighten us all. First of all, because Carolyn lives in Brooklyn, with a small yard and with not a lot of space between her and her neighbors, she asks, where are the smallest and quietest birds? Should she try to hatch a fertilized egg in an incubator, or buy chicks to get a teenage chicken? For many chicken breeds, there is a standard size variety and a smaller subbreed, referred to as a bantam. For instance, two breeds known for the gentle, tame, and generally quiet personalities are Brahmas, a long-feathered and notably calm breed originating from India, and Silkies, an outrageously fluffy-looking breed known for its particularly sociable and affectionate nature. Both are bred in small and not-so-small sizes. There are also breeds known as true bantams that are only bred small and thus tend to be smaller than the counterpart bantams, such as the remarkably pretty and notably small United States-bred Sebright and the royal-looking Malaysian Serama that average around 20 ounces and can roost comfortably atop a tin can. To browse through most of the many breeds still alive, yes, a few have gone extinct, you might want to visit a website known as FeatherSite, which I link to from the Bucky Bacall page on sagebrushvariety.org. I really enjoy looking over that site, but do keep in mind that your actual choice may be limited. For instance, you'll have to choose whether you're going to mail order fertilized eggs, which means it'll be very tough to predict how many chicks you'll wind up with and what sex they'll be, or whether you'll mail order recently hatched chicks, which strikes a lot of people as cruel, and I tend to agree. Or whether you'll try to find someone local who breeds through local classified listings. That's why I recommend not getting too hung up on breed when you're first starting out, as long as you be as sure as possible not to get a full size. As far as the noise issue goes, while some chickens have better reputations than others, the truth is that hens are generally quiet. In cities across the nation, many people go months or years without ever realizing they have hens as neighbors because the soft clucking and occasional victory cry some hens make after laying an egg are drowned out by urban and suburban noises such as dogs barking, local birds, automobile and plane traffic, lawnmowers and leaf blowers, radios, and etc. But that's hens. Some roosters, not all, can be pretty noisy, which is just one reason why most cities allow residents to keep hens, but many forbid roosters. That brings me back to the question of where to buy or adopt your first chickens. Unless you have a friend in the country who will adopt any of your chicks that grow up to be noisy roosters, you should probably look for chicken breeders who can tell you the sex of the chicken you're taking home. It won't be as hard as you think to find a breeder like that, but it's possibly the biggest challenge for the backyard birder who isn't willing to slaughter a young rooster for soup. Still, if you do have a backup plan for any unexpected roosters, you might want to try the fertilized egg or newly hatched route. The earlier you start personally raising chickens, the more socialized they'll be to you in your yard. With a properly lit and heated cage with food and water, you could safely leave the babies for the day while you're at work, and still get some socializing in when you're at home. And some roosters might turn out to be good for a yard in Brooklyn. A quiet rooster might not provide eggs for breakfast, but will still debug and fertilize your yard, provide extra protection for any hens you might also have, and generally be fun to have around. Which brings me to another question from Carolyn. Would one chicken be lonely? Yes, unless you're home a lot, one chicken would be lonely. Chickens are very sociable. The three chickens in the Bacall flock bicker all day, but if they get separated, they can think of nothing else but, where's my companion? The oldest chicken we have lived by herself for a while after her original companion died, and she's always been a bit more needy than the other two as a result. I'm still looking at the list of questions from Carolyn, and there's some more I'd like to answer for all my listeners. But I got clucking away on those first few, and it looks like I'm going to have to finish up on my next show, when I'll answer Carolyn's questions about citified predators, smells and odors, bird flu paranoia, and how to meet up with chickeners in your area. This is Bucky Bacall. I had a good time. Bucky Bacall's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.